Nicholas von Amsdorf was the only nobleman in Luther's inner circle, yet few people today have ever heard of him. Learn more about one of the first evangelical bishops in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Nicholas von Amsdorf, champion of Martin Luther's Reformation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Nicholas von Amsdorf. Luther's explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed has a lot to do with what God both makes and gives. He gives all these things, body, soul, eyes, ears, my members and my reason, my senses, and he takes care of them. In addition to all the other things that support this body and life, all this he does, Luther says, out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. That's how Luther understands the creation, this ongoing gift that God continues to give, that he began at the beginning, that he continues to give to each of us every single day. So how do we make the connection between this, the first article of the Creed, and the second article of the Creed? That is, does God have, even while he's creating the world, the redemption that Christ would effect coming into this creation already in mind? We're going to answer that question and others as we continue our series on Lutheran catechesis, getting into the Catechism on Creation. Joining us to do so, Pastor Peter Bender, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, welcome back.
Todd, great to be with you as always.
Let's get into the text of the Catechism on the Creed.
What is so lovely about the Catechism is how personal Luther makes the lofty, objective language of the first article. The first article says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Clearly, it reflects what the opening verse of Genesis 1 said. I believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But what Luther does is he wants each one of us to understand clearly that in God's act of creation, each of us individually was the object of God's love in creation, to provide for and sustain us in every way. So the Catechism explanation says, I believe that God has made me. 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 And that echoes the words of the psalmist, doesn't it? In Psalm 139, where it speaks, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. He's knit me together in my mother's womb. And elsewhere in scriptures, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul. And that's what it is to be human, body and soul. The Athanasian Creed speaks of that with respect to the incarnation of our Lord, with a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting. So body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. And I'd like you to think of our Lord Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. True God in every way, body and soul, with eyes and ears and all of his members, his reason and all of his senses. And how Jesus confessed that his Father was taking care of him. It is why he would not acquiesce to the devil's temptation in the wilderness. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So our Lord Jesus confessed that. And these wonderful assertions bespeak that self-giving love of God in creation. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. I think we cannot emphasize enough with our catechumens and our longtime members that everything in our lives, everything that we have, the books on my bookshelf that I am looking at, the wood that forms those bookshelves, the stain and the varnish, the lights that illuminate the room and allow me to read at night when the sun has gone down, the shingles that protect my house from the snow and from the ice and from the rain, the lawnmower outside, the workbench in my garage, the clothes on my back, my sweater, the buttons, the stitching, the good food and drink that we enjoy, all things come from Him. And we tend to think, well, I've worked for this, I've earned this. Well, this is simply God giving us the glorious privilege to share in His creative work. And so how He provides for us is through the daily work that He has given us to do. But the first article of the Creed asserts the fundamental truth that He is the source of it all. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. If we could only believe that, how much less worry, anxiety, and distress there would be in our lives. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. And if we go to the book of Romans, for example, Paul says, "Since God did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him freely give us all things to support us in this body and life? If I have, it's from God. If I don't have, then I probably don't need it, because what God ordains is always good. For He is my Creator, and He created me and all things out of nothing, and He sustains me and all things, and He so richly provides for all that I need to support me in my body and life." So He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. Now, someone says, "But Pastor, danger has come into the lives of many Christians, great evil and harm." But here too, we look to Christ. And when we see what happened to Him, we understand that though it seemed to be the worst evil that could ever befall someone, His suffering and ultimately His death upon the cross, from God's point of view, it was the greatest good. Like Joseph, as we've talked about with his brothers in Egypt, how radically he redefines what his brothers did to him when he says, "Do not be angry with yourself. You did not send me here. God sent me here to preserve many people alive as it is this day." So we still maintain the assertion, even in the midst of our suffering or in the midst of things that are adverse to us that God permits to come into our lives, we still maintain the assertion, "He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil." Luther says under the fourth petition that it pains the devil when a Christian eats a crust of bread and enjoys it. And look at how much more than crusts of bread we get to eat every single day of our lives. So the article in the Small Catechism concludes with, "All this He does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy." So again, the word fatherly there takes us back to God the Father, and we cannot think of His fatherly divine goodness and mercy apart from the grace of God in His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So He does all of this without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey Him. This is most certainly true.
You have some other connections you wanted to draw in the Catechism.
Sure, that ordering that we talked about in Genesis chapter 1. You know, God said, and it was so, and God saw that it was good. The Ten Commandments describe and articulate in greater detail the ordering of God's good creation. The law becomes a threat to us because of our sin, but the law in and of itself is good, and the kind of life that the law describes is God's life, what it is to be created and ordered by God, love for God and love for the neighbor. So when we're talking about the ordering of the Ten Commandments, we shouldn't neglect to articulate that this is a reflection of God's good and gracious ordering in creation. God created with redemption in Christ in view, which we have already spoken about, and I alluded to some of those connections that can be made. So we're talking about the second article of the Creed. Jesus is not simply a philosophical concept. He is the Son of God in human flesh. He entered into the creation to accomplish what God desired for man from the beginning, life and fellowship with God. Christianity is unique. At the center of the second article of the Creed, the center of our faith, are all the things that the Son of God, true God and man, did for us. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Look at how that speaks creation language and the creation of man to be fruitful and multiply. So he was conceived, he was born, he suffered physically, and he suffered spiritually. Under Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, in history, he was crucified, died, and he was bodily buried. And then he bodily rose again from the dead the third day, and he bodily has ascended to the right hand of the throne of God, true God and true man. So all of that concrete stuff of the second article of the Creed is connected to the first article of the Creed and everything that God create, which he is now redeeming in his Son. The Lord's Prayer, the fourth petition. We pray, God certainly gives daily bread to everyone, Luther says, under Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. So all of those things we just went through under the first article explanation in the fourth petition, we pray for daily bread, not because God won't give us daily bread unless we pray for it. Indeed, he gives daily bread constantly to all kinds of people who don't believe in him, but rather we pray for daily bread that we might learn to trust him for these gifts of daily bread, for the gifts of creation that sustain our lives and make it so enjoyable. And then when you think about the sacraments, how can water do such great things? Certainly not the water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things. Look at the wonderful connection with how the Word of God brought forth out of the water all of life and all of these gifts of creation. The bread and the wine of the sacrament of the altar, God said, "This is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And how significant and foundational the spoken word is that called the creation into existence and by which we come to know our sin and are brought to faith in God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And how the spoken word is the basis for all discourse among us as human beings, our fellowship with one another. It is the fundamental way in which we give and receive love and by which we exercise dominion, which then manifests itself very concretely in the lives that we live. And then you can think about the table prayers in the Catechism, where he quotes from the Psalm to ask a blessing. "The eyes of all look to you, O Lord. You give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Lord God, Heavenly Father, bless us. And these your gifts, which we receive from your bountiful goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord." That "through Jesus Christ our Lord" at the end of that prayer, as in every other one, is not just a formula at the end of the prayer, but he gives us the daily bread and he sustains our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord, through what he has done for us. I always make the point, especially at Thanksgiving time, that the whole world enjoys the sun shining and the rain falling and the fruitfulness of the field on account of what Christ has done for us in his redeeming work upon the cross. In other words, if the Son of God had not become man for us, the second Adam, and redeemed us and all of creation with his blood, we would not enjoy any of the blessings of creation. But we enjoy all of the blessings of creation precisely because of the redeeming work that is in Christ. And so that "through Jesus Christ our Lord" makes that assertion in every prayer that we utter.
Finally, speaking of prayer, you would suggest prayer based upon the first article of the Creed.
I have one suggestion, and this follows the pattern that we've been observing, Todd, throughout our series together, where the Catechism, which is so often thought of as textbook, explanation, and so forth, can be used as a prayer book where you turn that language around in the form of a prayer. I hope we've been seeing, you know, throughout our series together, how devotional the explanations in the Small Catechism are. I mean, they're like mini sermons as each small portion of the catechism is explicated. That's certainly true of the first article. I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He's given me my body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, and so forth, and all this out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. I mean, that's like a pastor tenderly proclaiming God's love and gracious care of his people. So, using the language of Luther's explanation, we could pray something like this. Heavenly Father, you are God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, the creator and sustainer of all things. We give thanks to you that you have made us and all creatures, that you have given us our bodies and souls, eyes, ears, and all our members, our reason and all our senses, and that you still take care of them. You also give us clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all we have. You richly and daily provide us with all that we need to support us in our body and life. You defend us against all danger and guard and protect us from all evil. All this you do for us out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. Grant us through the grace of your only begotten Son to believe that this is most certainly true, and to ever thank and pray, serve and obey you as long as we live. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Peter Bendridge, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. He's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
On the other side of the break, on this Tuesday, April the 16th, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us. We're going to answer the question, how is the season of Lent like a Christian funeral? Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her Reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Are you a high school guy or girl interested in theology and thinking about becoming a pastor or deaconess? Christ Academy High School at Concordia Theological Seminary is the thing for you. Spend 2 weeks worshiping and learning like a seminary student while having fun and building lasting friendships. Join us this summer at Christ Academy from June 16th to the 29th. Visit ctsfw.edu/ca for more info.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
The living God is now defined by the living and risen Christ.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Do not fall away from the true God who died and rose again and lives for you.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.